Well, we'll go ahead and get started. So, Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Me too.
We find ourselves at number 8 on our continuing series on the Ten Commandments. And hopefully, as we're moving along through here, we're discovering things about our inner selves and how our nature doesn't always align with the nature of God. The law of God is a reflection of God's nature. His law reflects how he thinks about things and how he views things, how he sees the interactions between us and him and between each other. His law is right and just and good, and when followed, will create the righteous and wonderful kingdom of God. Today we look at a simple command. Exodus 20:15 states, "Thou shalt not steal." That's the whole command. Thou shalt not steal. Bottom line is, we're not to take something that belongs to somebody else. Now, our first thought when thinking of this command are, you know, people like this. Bandits and thieves and sneaky scoundrels of all types. Some of the most familiar are armed robbery, burglary, shoplifting, that kind of thing. Theft. Now, that type of theft, of course, is clearly a violation of the Eighth Commandment. Yeshua said that there will be unrepentant men that will not enter the kingdom of God. And in Matthew 5:19, he said this. He said, "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." Theft or stealing is actually listed by Yeshua as one of the fundamental evils of human nature. And is thieves are listed in that of people that will not enter the kingdom of God. So it is a very important subject. It's part of God's law. And the problem with this command, and I'm not the problem with it, but the problem with our society is that it's going largely ignored. It's running rampant, really, in our society. I looked up a few numbers from the Justice Department, and I didn't want to spend a lot of time on it, so the first thing I found was numbers from 2007, so I just ran with that, but just know it was every year is on an upward curve, so it's probably even worse than this. But in 2007, there were 2,176,140 burglaries, or one every 14 seconds. Now that's just a burglary. They had different classes, so that didn't include like shoplifting and armed robbery and larceny, those types of things. This is just burglary, where somebody in a nonviolent manner breaks in and steals somebody else's thing. That happens every 14 seconds in 2007. Larcenies, 6 million, or one every 4.8 seconds. In 2007, motor vehicle thefts numbered 1.2 million, or one every 26 seconds. And there was a bunch more, but we don't need to look at them. And what was interesting about this, when I looked at this report, it said that 50% of theft cases are unreported. So you could take all those numbers and double them. So, burglary, theft, shoplifting, and the like are really what we first think of when we think of stealing. And while that's correct that those are the common types of thievery, and they are sin, and they certainly apply to the Eighth Commandment, today what I'm hoping to do is to expand your thinking past that limited view, to encompass more of the depth of this command. Because stealing takes many forms. And it affects all of us. Take this little guy, for example. So there you have it. Oh my gosh. Young or old, some form of stealing affects us all. I see if everybody's awake, you know. Make sure. All right, seriously though. I had to, you know, I had to do it. All right. Seriously, stealing is a much larger problem than just simple thieves and robbers and bandits and dads. So today, let's expand our thinking and let's get a broader vision of stealing. And we're going to do that by maybe talking about a few ways that stealing occurs that we may be involved in and not realize it. That ways that stealing occur that affects us and how it affects us.
Grapes at the grocery store.
And exactly. As we go through them, I want you to think about how each one of them involves this. Selfishness. Stealing is nothing but a gigantic reflection of selfishness. Because when you steal something, you're saying in effect that it's more important for me or for you to have that thing than the person that has it. It's just selfish, whether it's money or possessions or time, you know, any sort of resources. It's more important that the thief have it in his mind. One who has the proper respect for the rights of others will not steal. Theft is an utter lack of concern for the best interests of another person. And thieves don't care who they hurt. They're utterly selfish. They're willing to take advantage of the labor of others by stealing what another has worked to attain. It's self-centeredness, self-centered selfishness. And if you have your eyes open as we go through some of these, I think you'll see selfishness is a root core in every one of them. Think about employers for a moment. When an employer takes advantage of an employee and doesn't pay adequate wages in return for the labor, what's he doing? He's stealing the labor, isn't he? You know, he's taking advantage of that person and stealing from him. In Deuteronomy 24, it says, "Do not take advantage of a hired man who is poor and needy, whether he is a brother Israelite or an alien living in one of your towns. Don't take advantage of a hired man." In Jeremiah, it says, "Woe." You know, I'm going to mention this later again, but you don't see woe very often, I mean, in the Bible. I mean, it's there. I mean, there's quite a number of them, I guess. But when you see that, man, you really want to take note. Because when God says woe to you, I don't want to be on the receiving end of a woe from God. It says, "Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by injustice, who uses his neighbor's service without wages and gives him nothing for his work." Now this is obviously, you know, there's degrees here. So, you know, there's nothing, and then there's also inadequate, you know, so it applies. Employers that take the labor from their employees are stealing. And it's pretty easy to see the selfishness in that, isn't it? Okay. Now, when we're talking about employers, it's a two-way street. Okay. Employees that do not give an honest day's work for their wage are equally as guilty. Why? Because they're stealing the wage from the employer by not producing something in return for it. You're taking something. Because when you're hired by an employer, you enter into a contract or an agreement that you're going to trade your time for his money. And so when you're slacking on the job and you're supposed to be working, but you're over in a corner and you're doing whatever, reading or sit down and look at a magazine or smoke a cigarette or something like that, you're stealing back that time that you've sold him. And he's paying you for that time that you're supposed to be working. Okay? You're basically collecting wages as if you had provided the time and the labor when in fact you didn't. And it's plain and simple theft. And it happens in magnitude. Man, I remember when I worked at Hallmark, it was a big, that was the big thing, is if you could figure out some way to come to work and, you know, not work. You know, oh, I had a great day, you know, and brag about it. Well, what are you doing? You're stealing. You're stealing from your employer. It's plain and simple. Now, here's something maybe that's maybe a little less obvious. What is false advertising? Is that theft? Well, in the case of the Big Mac here, it may be, some people might just even call that a bait and switch. You know, they give you a perfectly good-looking one in the ads, but then when you get yours out of the paper, it's not quite what you thought you'd bought. So is it more of a lie, or is it more stealing? Now think about if you'd never been to a McDonald's before, and you walked up to the counter, and you looked at the thing, and here's this picture of this product, and you say, yeah, I want one of those. And then you get that. I don't know. Is it? And then you keep going back. Well, after that, that's why I say if you've never been to a McDonald's before. So, you know, if you go back, then it's your own fault. But let's look at this one for a minute. Okay. So you pay $100 for a jar of cream expecting your skin to look like the person on the left, and it didn't happen. Was your money stolen? Of course it was. I mean, these people should be ashamed of themselves. They're in the cream in the world that's going to make that person look like that person. It isn't happening.
They even say it's a lie. Simulated
image. Exactly. Well, they have to.
That says lie.
Exactly. It's a lie. So, now I know that nobody here is in the manufacturing business and selling a product and, you know, advertising it. You know, maybe, well, yeah, I guess you are. Forgot about that. But even if you aren't, it does illustrate something that teaches a principle that is applicable to all of us. Have you ever sold anything to a friend? You know, used eBay? Have you ever represented anything? Because the difference in how we represent something as opposed to what might be its actual traits or value, that difference between the two, you're stealing. You know, if something's worth $50 and you can talk somebody into giving you 75 for it because you misrepresented it, you've just stolen $25 from the guy, even though he made a decision. Now, if you represent it correctly and he wants to give you $75 for it, then that's fine. But when we false represent something to jack up the value over and above what it's truly worth, it's stealing. And it breaks the eighth commandment. In our society, you know, if we can get rid of something that isn't quite up to snuff and pawn it off on somebody else, you know, it's term being shrewd, right? Or, you know, you did a good deal. Being able to represent things and get more out of them than that they are worth is applauded. But it's not applauded by Yahweh. The extra that you got by misrepresenting or omitting things is theft, plain and simple. Leviticus 19:11 says, "You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another." You notice how all of that is just lumped together? Dealing falsely is stealing. It's also lying, and it's just plain sin. And it's easily identifiable, once again, as selfishness, isn't it? Is your, you know, you're just putting your desire ahead of somebody else's to their detriment. And when you deal like this, you're saying selfishly that your desires and the way you want to come out on the deal comes before somebody else. You get the picture? It isn't just the big corporations that are guilty of stealing by false advertising. Or should I say false representation. We can be guilty of it too. Now that we see that side, there's a danger as a buyer as well. Look at this scripture, Proverbs 20, verse 14. "It is good for nothing," cries the buyer. But when he's gone away, gone his way, then he boasts. This is telling us to be careful how we represent something when we're buying as well. If we're talking somebody down on something, which is okay to do. You know, I'm not talking about simple bargaining. I'm talking about lying and misrepresenting yourself in order to get the price down. If you use that tactic, you just stole whatever part of that difference that you just bought. Now, if a buyer offers a low price and you accept, then so be it. But if you told him things that are not true to get the item to be devalued, then that's on your head. It's just, you're just a selfish thief at that point. That's why this proverb, it's bringing this together. The previous one about the lying and the dealing falsely, and it just and he says, and that's thievery. I told you when we started this series that this stuff is sharper than a two-edged sword, right? It'll cut deep. This command, like all the others, has implications to our daily lives. It's not just about donning a mask and walking into a store and robbing it to break this commandment. It means much more than that. Yahweh wants purity in our dealings. He wants us to deal purely. Treat other people, as the golden rule says, as you want to be treated. In Deuteronomy 25, it says, "You shall not have a bag in your bag differing weights, a heavy and a light. You shall not have in your house differing measures, a large and a small. You shall have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure, that your days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. For all who do such things, all who behave unrighteously, are an abomination to the Lord your God." Men cheat in all sorts of ways, using one measure for buying and another measure for selling is stealing. Yahweh says that it's an abomination to him. We are to deal justly with people or we break his law. And we see this rampant in our society. Let's talk a minute about white collar fraud, okay? Which is stealing. You understand that white collar fraud takes countless thousands of times more, you know, steals a lot more, millions of times more, actually, a year, than all the other robberies and larcenies and all that stuff put together. Okay? This type of white-collar crime involves all sorts of things. We're going to look at a few of them here. What about internet scams? It's just nothing but lying and then stealing, right? You see all kinds of things out there on that internet. You know, the ones that really blow me away are these ones where they send you the email and says that you got $10 million in a, you know, I got you guys have seen this, and how many of the one, there's one going around where it comes from some other country, and it's basically an official from another country who says, you know, I'm in charge, I'm a finance minister in this country, you know, maybe it's Zimbabwe or something like that, and these people died, and I need to get them, you know, there's no heirs, and so I need to be able to transfer the money out. And I need a U.S. account to transfer it to. And I'll transfer it to you. I'll send you the $10 million. You just need to pay me the fees that I have to pay to the government in order to get the money released. People are falling for that by the thousands. It was one of the biggest internet scams last year.
How much were the fees?
Millions and millions of dollars got pumped over there. It's unbelievable. Identity theft. How much of that's going on now? It's rampant.
Matt's card just got stolen while you were in Arizona. His numbers did.
Whose?
Matt's.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, mine got stolen about, I don't know, 6-8 months ago. Somebody was buying windows and doors in Switzerland.
What?
With my credit card number. Yeah, I had to shut it down and issue me a new card.
PlayStation got hacked, and it was his
right.
Card. It was the same card that he used.
That's right.
And they stole a whole bunch of
they
whole bunch of stuff.
They shut everything down for a while.
Yep.
What?
What about extortion? Is that stealing?
Yeah.
Of course it is. I mean, when you... You know, you got the goods on somebody, and you go up to them and say, hey, you're going to pay me X or I'm going to tell? Just stealing. What are you providing for them? Is that a real loving thing? Stock manipulation. Oh, boy, that's a big one. You know, we talk about, you know, robbing a 7-Eleven. My goodness, these companies, you know, start up, and they pull in millions and millions of dollars, and a lot of times these companies are just shells.
They call it business.
Yeah, that's just business. Yeah. That's right. White collar crime, man. I mean,
what was that one guy that got caught recently?
Bernie Madoff?
Yeah. Whole
yeah, exactly. His whole Ponzi
huge
scheme. It was gigantic. It was $72 billion. Over 20 some odd years. What about insider trading? You know, when you know ahead of time, like let's say in the oil business, okay? Martha Stewart. But you know in the oil business that this well that they're drilling is gonna hit. Because the engineer that's working on there is a good friend of yours, and he says, hey, you know, this one's going to hit, the stock's going to go up, and you go buy it. Is that stealing? Or is that just good business? Who's it stealing from? It's stealing from all of the people that are on the opposite side of that. Because you understand that stock has been issued. And this fella over here bought it for $6. And when you say, you know, you're going to go in there and buy it, somebody has to sell it for you to be able to buy it. And you're buying it at $6. He's going to lose. Whoever sells it to you is going to lose the money that it's about to go up. Now, sure, that's his decision, but it comes right back. Again, we talked earlier about that false representation, you know, where maybe you're doing it through a computer and you don't see that other guy. But if you were standing there looking at him, and saying, hey, you know that stock on that deal? Will you sell it to me? And I was like, well, why you want to buy it? Well, you know, I just think it might go up. Really? And so then you're withholding, you're misrepresenting, you're lying to him about what it is that you know that is the value of that item. See? I mean, there's so many of these kind of nuances that happen to us in our daily life that we really need to stop and think about. Am I taking advantage of somebody and taking from them what is theirs? Embezzlement. Well, that's just stealing with a pen. That's all that is, you know. You get to working for a company and, you know, you're in a position of trust and you're their bookkeeper, you're managing things, or maybe you're not even a bookkeeper. Maybe you're out in the field and, you know, you use fittings all day long, brass fittings. And you just go to the store and you buy brass fittings and you turn the receipt in, you get reimbursed for them. You need 3 brass fittings, you buy 4. Well, at the end of the month, you got a whole bag of brass fittings. Now you can take them down to the deal and turn them in for the brass. That stuff happens all the time. It's embezzlement. It's stealing. All right, we'll work through these a little quicker. Bribery. I don't think I need to say anything about that. I mean, that's plain. Tax fraud. When you cheat on your taxes, who are you stealing from? Now you might say, well, exactly. I mean, that's pretty easily justifiable, isn't it, in your mind? You're like, I mean, don't get me started, right?
Right?
It is. However, you're also stealing from all the rest of the people that are paying it. Now, the tax code is set up such, and it requires you to set up your affairs as to pay the least amount of tax. That is actually in the code. So I'm not talking about being wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. I'm not talking about wisdom. I'm talking about just plain tax fraud.
But it's a voluntary tax.
Yeah, don't get me started.
It's voluntary.
Yeah, it's voluntary until you don't pay it. Then it becomes very voluntary all of a sudden. Okay, consumer fraud. All right, same thing. You know, you're promised something as a consumer, back to that false advertising. That's consumer fraud, isn't it? When you sell a jar of cream that's supposed to make you my complexion look like Brianna's, you know, it's not going to happen. What about stealing intellectual property? This happens on the corporate level all the time. You know, people stealing ideas, taking them and selling them to another company. Have you ever really noticed that somebody will come out with a new product? And it won't be, if it's good, it won't be weeks and there'll be another. Mm-hmm. Now, how does that happen?
Yeah.
You know? All right. Political bribes.
Yeah. A lot of people getting stolen from there.
That affects us in such a gigantic way. Alex and Brianna and I were talking about that earlier. Our whole system for electing our officials is based upon and circles around bribery. You cannot get elected to a government office in the United States of America unless you have promised your constituents, that's code for the people that, you know, are bribing you, to get the favors once you get into office. That's why we have a tax code that's this tall, because it's full of the loopholes and the things that the congressmen and everybody have put in place to help the people and the companies that paid for them to run their election and pay for their election. That's how the system works. It's how it functions. Our government is based upon this type of tax incentive bribery. That is why we'll never get a flat tax through. Our system can't function that way because we don't have politicians that go to office to serve the people. You have politicians that can only get in office by going and serving the people that pay for their campaign. It's a systemic problem, and it is more than rampant. And you have all the investment scams, you know, where, you know, invest in this or that, and, you know, it goes away. There's more. This is a list that, you know, I came up with. I just, you know, jotted a few of these down and you know, just trying to illustrate, again, that, you know, the face of theft isn't just, you know, the guy with the mask on, you know. You can have in one day a white-collar criminal could wake up in the morning and, you know, bribe a building inspector, shortway his product, entertain his wife at the company expense, receive a kickback on a business deal, and buy personal gifts with company money, cheat on his income tax, fail to pay the maid's Social Security, do his personal shopping on company time, type a personal letter using company time and machinery, bribe a purchasing agent, overcharge on a government invoice, and then consider it a successful day when he lays his head down at night.
They usually end up committing suicide.
You know? And the sad thing is that that guy and degrees of him are the ones in, you know, the business suits, that are living in the big houses, driving the nice cars, that are giving the money to charity for tax reasons, and everybody holds up in our society as the pillars of the community. And they're worse than the guy that's hungry, that breaks into the neighbor's house to get something to sustain himself. All right? So how far can this go? How far can all of this go? How, you know, when you take this very simple command, thou shalt not steal, and you run it out to its ultimate. You know, again, it starts with the little thievery and then it goes up through all of these things, you know. Well, we're living it. We're right in the middle of one of the greatest acts of theft ever concocted by mankind. There's one I didn't put on this list. There's one guy. Bankers. Bankers. These guys are experts at stealing the labor of other people. That is what they exist to do. That is what their function is. Okay? Now, I know most of you have heard me go on and on about our banking system and phony, funny money, inflation, and the Federal Reserve and all that. But I don't think you've heard anything yet. I think when we wait to hear what Yahweh has to say about this, it's going to be a lot more than listening to me rant on. This is theft on such a grand scale with such subterfuge that it's really unparalleled in the history of mankind. And we're living it. We're right in the middle of it. You know, it used to be that the kings would they would issue money in their kingdom. That's why Yeshua said, when he asked if he paid taxes, he said, "Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's." He said, "Look at the money. Whose is it? Whose picture's on it? It's Caesar. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's." The kings would issue this money in return for labor to work on the kingdom, to grow the food and to build his castle and everything else. But then when that money would come back in the form of taxes, they'd take files. And they'd file off, you know, the edges of the coins. And you know, you do that on enough coins and hey, you got another coin. You've just created another whole coin out of nothing. Right? What have you done? You've stolen the labor that was represented by that coin from the next person that gets it. And so now all of a sudden, instead of 10 coins out there, we've got 11 coins out there. But now the labor pool didn't go up, did it? The labor pool stayed the same. So now we've got 10 coins or 11 coins chasing the same food and services that we had 10 coins chasing a minute ago. Now, if you weren't asleep in, you know, economics class, you understand the dynamics of supply and demand. When there's more coins chasing fewer products, then what happens? The price of the product does what? It goes up. And now that coin that that person traded his labor for now can't buy as much as it could before. And that's how it was done. That's how the kings got wealthier and wealthier. And they stole the labor, not to mention that they didn't pay them very well either. But even that which he did pay, they could manipulate prices by controlling the supply of money and how much money was out there. Okay? Now, this type, that's the type of dishonest, remember the scripture? Don't have, you know, one weight for buying and one weight for selling. All of your weights shall be just. That's the dishonest weights and measures that Yahweh was talking about. But now, when these bankers got control of government offices, they elected to take us off the gold standard.
Because it was too hard to steal it.
See, when you have a standard that says you can only issue enough money as comparable to the gold that you have, then you have to go get the gold. And well, how do you get gold? You got to work for it. You got to dig in the ground. There's labor involved, see? And then you've got to purify it, and you've got to smelt it, and there's costs involved in creating that. And those costs and that labor directly correspond to the labor that somebody else is doing to grow corn or wheat or, you know, saw lumber for building or, you know, clothes. See what I mean? So it's equal. But when you take that away, then all of a sudden now you can just, hey, print more. Right? So the thieving banker shows up and he comes in and says, hey, you know, it's too dangerous. This is the subterfuge. It's too dangerous for you to carry those gold coins around. So come and put it in my safe. I'll save it for you. Doing us a service. I'll save it for you and I'll just issue this paper, and then that way you can exchange the paper, okay? And I'll give you a note for it. So you use the note to buy and sell with. Well, that's all well and good until he decides that he wants to just print some more. Maybe he's got 100 gold coins in his deal and he put out 100 notes. But then when he wants to go to dinner, instead of going and working and doing something productive, he just prints up another note. And then he goes and gets to eat dinner on what? Everybody else's labor. And everybody else's cost for dinner goes up because now there's what? An extra note chasing the same amount of goods and services. And that is theft. But like murder is called abortion, and adultery is called cheating, this theft is called inflation. It's a whole industry. It's our whole system. And it's designed to do nothing but steal from the people that are working. Steal from the working class. These are people in your government. People living in the mansions, flying the big jets, and living large on the backs of a monetary system that is designed specifically to steal from the public. They literally suck the value of your labor, your money, right out of your pocket. Right now, while we're sitting here, they're stealing right out of your pocket. Because all they have to do is just print more. And print it they do, fast as they want. Yeah, it hacks me off. Do I rant about it? Yeah. But it's because it's an injustice of magnificent proportions. And, you know, we're just supposed to accept it as, well, that's how it is. That's not how it's supposed to be. And it's not going to be that way, guys, in the kingdom of God. There's proverb after proverb. You know, if you don't work, you don't eat. And a man is worthy of his hire. You know, there's principles that God will, you know, Yeshua will instill in this world at his return. And, you know, maybe I'm passionate about it, but I know that Yahweh is even more passionate about it because he sees it clearer than I do. In James 5, it says, come now, you rich. This is what's going to come down on these guys. Okay, it's not going to be pretty. Come now, you rich. Weep and howl for your miseries that are coming on you. Your riches are corrupt, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be for a testimony against you. And you will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up your treasure in the last days. Continuing verse 4. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you have kept back by fraud. The labor that you stole by fraud. The cries of those people who reaped have entered into the ears of the Lord of hosts. You've lived delicately on the earth and have taken your pleasure. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. What good did that meal do that cow on the day of his slaughter? That's how Yahweh sees it. They're taking their meal as in the day of slaughter. There's more. The Bible's full of condemnations for people that defraud other people. And our bankers and our government have taken this to new heights. Legendary in the history of mankind. And we've been so successful in the United States of America that they've taught the rest of the world how to do it. There isn't an honest monetary system on the face of planet Earth. Every country on this Earth now has a fiat money system. Every single one of them. Stealing. Don't do it. The government hates the competition. I'll leave it at that. I want to move on now to the positive side of this command. Not the don't part, but what the opposite of it is. But before I go there, there's one last form of stealing that I want to address. In John verse 10, or chapter 10, it says this. Now Yeshua, most assuredly, I tell you, one who doesn't enter by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. What's Yeshua talking about here? He went on to say that Yeshua is the true shepherd of the sheep. Now, who are the sheep? The sheep's the called out ones. Who are the shepherds? He says he's the true shepherds. Now, what are the false shepherds that are climbing in some other way as a thief? It's the false ministry. Yeshua here was speaking directly at the Sadducees and Pharisees who had set themselves up in positions of leadership And they were trying to go in by another door and steal the sheep with their religion and their laws and, you know, all of that stuff, their writings and their authority. That's why they crucified him, because he stood against them. And he called them thieves and robbers. In Jeremiah 23, it says, "Woe," here it is again, "woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel against the shepherds who feed my people, you have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doings, says the Lord. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?" When Pharisees, pastors, teachers, evangelists, whether on TV or not, take advantage of their position to intimidate and coerce people for their own personal gain, oh boy, woe to them. The bankers will have a better time of it. They're really going to have something to answer for. The servants of the church need their sustenance, and yes, are deserving and such. The principle that a man is worthy of his hire applies to those in the ministry. But there are those, like the Pharisees of Yeshua's time, that were not servants. They were greedy for power, for money, for influence, and they stole it by intimidation from the sheep, from the flock, from the ecclesia. And doing it for that reason and that motivation and that pretense is a heinous, heinous sin. Very few times we see woe to somebody in the Bible, but there's one, and here's another. Matthew 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of" what? Extortion. Extortion and self-indulgence. Wasn't that on our list of ways that stealing is done? When these men use the word of God to intimidate people into giving, it's stealing, and doing it in the name of God. I don't want to stand in front of God with something like that to answer for. All right, so now we see that there is much to stealing. It involves theft, misrepresentation, fraud, ill-gotten gains of all sorts. And we've seen in every single case that we looked at that the heart and core of it is selfishness. So then what's the other side of this command? What's the positive side of this command? What attitude, what way of life does Yahweh and Yeshua teach us that is in direct opposition to the selfishness or stealing? It's really quite simple, as is most things of God when you get right down to it. It's the way of give. If someone is so selfish that they steal something from someone, the exact opposite of that would not it be to be selfless? If selfish, and if one side is selfish, the other side is selfless. If one side is stealing, the other side is what? Giving. We need to be givers. We used to hear a lot that the Bible could be boiled down to two ways of life, the get way of life and the give way of life. And while that's agreeably quite simplistic, there is wisdom to it because it's an attitude. It reflects the motivating principle and purpose that God has in His law versus the twisted, self-centered, egocentric perversion of Satan the devil. We've heard the following from the book of Acts many, many times, but do we believe it? Do we live it? In Acts 20 it says, "In all things I give you an example, that so laboring you ought to help the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Yeshua, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than receive. The give way of life, when understood and lived, would make it impossible to steal something from somebody else. If you have genuine care and concern for other people that's at least equal to your own, you wouldn't think of doing anything that would cause the possessions of somebody else to be transferred to you unethically. Fact is, what would you be doing? You'd be doing the opposite. You'd be looking for ways to bless the other people. You'd be looking for ways to give them things, not to take what they already have. It's two completely diametrically opposite counter ways of life and looking at things. Yahweh doesn't want us focusing on what we can get. He knows what we need. And, you know, he tells us in Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things I'll give you. I know what you need. I'll add all these other things to you. You don't worry about it. We're here to seek righteousness. That's what we're to take away from this experience called life, called physical life on this earth. It's why we're here, to learn. It's for character development, to learn righteousness, to learn how to submit to our God, to love him, and to love others. And when you steal from somebody, how is that loving your neighbor as yourself? Can you really fulfill that by taking things from them in any form? You can't do it. We have to keep things in perspective. Are you really going to trade righteousness for possessions? In Matthew 6, it says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our treasure is to be in our relationship with God. It's really ironic that all these things that we fight for, you know, are just going to be burned up in the end anyway. You keep that in perspective, you know. So what's the point? You know, you're going to break God's law just so that you can get something that's going to be burned up in a few years? You're not going to take it with you. You know? So it boils down to this. I'll just close with this. Stealing. Being lazy on the job. Misrepresenting things. Defrauding things. Doing anything that causes property or value to come to you by any means of cheating or deceit, without an honest and equal compensation back to the other person, is stealing. It's plain and simple. It's sin, and it's against the eighth commandment. It reflects a selfish get attitude at all costs. In contrast, an attitude of giving reflects the love of God. It fulfills his desire in us to learn to walk in righteousness, and is the selfless give way of life. Righto?